You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. Today, Jane, we are going to answer some questions. And the topic today is going to be three common questions that the seller have when they receive an offer. And that this also applies to the buyer side, too. So number one, a lot of times when the seller gets a contract, they want to know when is it appropriate to sign, because you grow up and you know that a contract is binding and you think, I don't want to sign anything. I want to look at it. I want to have my lawyer look at it. But in New Jersey, with real estate, residential real estate contracts, it works differently. And Jane, you want to break it down a little?
Yeah. I mean, today, Ken, a lot of our shows is pretty much we take the one side to explain the same concept, right? Because there's a both side, seller side and a buyer side. Often these two sides is against each other, right? I mean, it's like what works for better for one side may not be so favorable to the other. But today's topic actually is good for both sides. It's really, we just going to state the fact there. So if you're a seller, we would point out, what you should know beyond the wording. And also, we would like to point out to the buyers, when you sign that line, what that actually mean to you. Often you just sign it because the agent prepared a contract for you, and then you just sign it. But we just want to break it down to make it very clear what that meant, right? And first of all, you just mentioned, right, this contract is really, people can misunderstand that. When buyer like a house, they said, oh yeah, I want to make an offer. When the agent prepared the paperwork, and the buyer often said, I don't want to sign a contract. I don't want to sign a contract. I want to make an offer. In New Jersey, the offer itself is a contract form, which is prepared by the New Jersey Realtor Association. It's a standard form. So, I mean, when the buyer signed it, it's called offer. Once seller accepted and signed it, and then the same document changed the name to contract. But regardless, as you point out, the seller doesn't want to sign, want the lawyer to review. In New Jersey, there's nothing for the lawyer to review unless both sign to sign the document, which has become a contract. And when the seller and buyer both signed the document called a contract, it's not a binding contract. It's unlike New York, right? And once you sign, nobody can help you. That's it. That's done deal. Normally, the lawyer has to get it done for you. But New Jersey is different from other state. So when you see a offer says contract of sales, that's an offer.
Maybe they should rename it or relabel it and saying starting contract. I'm just being facetious, but yeah. Starting contract, because in New Jersey, every contract has to have affixed to it the notice called the Opinion 26, which advises both the buyers and the sellers that neither the realtors can give them any legal advice, but they have 3 business days from the date that the fully signed contract is received both back to the buyer and the seller to consult with an attorney, and only the attorney can review and disapprove of the contract. Otherwise, it becomes binding as it is. This was a settlement reached in the 1970s between the Realtors Association and the Lawyers Association that allows New Jersey licensed realtors to fill in the blanks of a pre-printed contract to write in the price, the offer amount, the deposit, the closing date, the mortgage amount, check the home inspection, there are certain things, and then write in additional provisions. That was a settlement that it has to be, any contract prepared by the realtor has to be accompanied by this Opinion 26. It's a very important document. It protects the buyers and sellers. It tells them this is not binding unless you let that 3 business days elapse, and then it would become binding.
As absolutely can. That's why, and just for the listening out there, if you want to buy a house, if the agent put a contract in front of you, that is the offer stage. That's your first step.
And still, sometimes you still, even though you explain it, you may explain this to a seller or a buyer, there's, on the rare occasions, more with the sellers, you get the resistance, and they still want to check with their attorney. And then what happens typically is the attorney, they'll call you back a few hours later and said, yeah, I spoke to the attorney, you're right. He said, I can go ahead, yes, and sign it. And then when I have the fully signed contract, the attorneys will start to review it and make, yeah, their modifications to it.
Yeah, this happened quite often when the seller said, no, I want my attorney to read it before I sign. Most of the time, the attorney returned back and say, please sign it so I can review it. So please, sign it as a form of your acceptance so I can review it. So, yeah, so we went through that again and again. So that's why we want to brought it up.
But also the attorney, and then during the attorney review, once the first attorney initials a response, the contract as signed is disapproved. And it can only be reinstated if the proposed changes are agreed to. And then the attorneys will go back and forth with different attorney review letters until they finalize the terms. And then only then, once the attorneys agree and it's either signed off by the buyer and the seller or the attorneys on their behalf, if they have the express authority, then and only then do you have a binding contract, meaning you can only get out of it if you exercise a legal right in the contract to get out.
Absolutely. So that's the first very, very often asked, top one asked question by both seller and buyer. So in a nutshell, if you want to make offer, that's in New Jersey, that's the document you have to start the process with, which is signed for the buyer side. You have to sign it and to make offer. So that's the starting point. As far as the seller side, if you are happy with the terms and the price and everything, and by signing it is confirming you accepting this, we have a contract, not binding yet, but at least a contract, so the buyer can move forward with the mortgage application if they want to lock in a rate or anything. And the seller and the buyer attorney have a document, have a contract to work with, to review, make changes. And that's where we start, the starting point. Yes, that's, I just want to, this is the number one question we get asked by the both seller and the buyer. Why, especially, a lot of people, a lot of our clients haven't buy and sell the house for a long, long time, right? They've been living in the same house for 30, 40 years. So they were worried. They said,
Right. And also from the buyer's perspective, they ask often their agents, yeah, they say, once I get the signed contract from the seller, am I protected? Am I locked in? And as we just explained, no, you're not locked in until attorney review is done. So anybody else can come in, bid higher amounts, and then the seller through their attorney can kill your deal and accept a higher or more favorable offer in its place. So you're
that happened quite a few times, even for us, right? I mean, when I represent a buyer and the seller went through final and the best, which is you give your best offer, we won, we awarded with the contract, we're in the term review. And last minute, and someone, another buyer came through, to beat us, and with a much, much higher cash offer. So because they knew we had turn review, so they gave it all. So my client were heartbroken, and they were just, really crying on the phone with me, just like heartbroken. But unfortunately, things can happen, even though you went through, it is. Emotionally, it's very hard to get over, but it happens, unfortunately.
That's
right?
Why they say with real estate, it's not only a monetary journey. It's really an emotional journey.
Yes, emotional
because
journey.
There's so many emotions that come out on both the buyer and the seller side, and hopefully they're happy emotions. And it's nice,
yes,
when the deal works out smoothly, and you get the seller leaves a nice note or little card, and those are when you have the happy endings, which is really nice to see. But it is an emotional, stressful journey.
It's rewarding too.
Rewarding
at the same time.
Anticipation, all those emotions just overflow a lot of times.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And the second most asked question is about appraisal. And in the past, when I start my real estate career 15 years ago. That's not very often to see because I started 2009, so I just missed.
We should first say what the appraisal is so that people
know.
Yeah,
sure.
So the appraisal, just for the listeners that may be listening for the first time, the appraisal is whenever there's a loan involved in the purchase of the real estate of the home or what have you, the bank will have to send out a third-party independent appraiser to do a valuation of the property because they want to make sure that the money they're lending, that there's enough, that there's is the actual value of the house. At least there's enough equity in their loan amount to cover it if, God forbid, there's a default on the mortgage and they'd have to reclaim the property. So they send an appraiser out to do a valuation, and the bank, you know, has to make sure that the home appraises for the contract price or close to it. Again, it depends upon the loan amount and how much the buyer is putting down, but that's the general concept. You want the property to appraise for the contract price, or oftentimes the bank will come back and say, sorry, if the price of the house is $500,000, but it only appraised for $480,000, otherwise the lender could come back and say, no, sorry, we can't loan you as this much because it's only the value of the property is only $480,000. So we have to adjust our loan amount. And then you could have a problem and the deal could go south.
Absolutely, Ken. Thank you for explaining. Yeah, I always get ahead of myself. Yeah, when I started my real estate career, that was in 2009. I just missed a crazy 5, 6, 7, and 8. So during that time, I believe this is a common practice with the contingency. But when I started 2009, the market already started going down. So when the market is going down, obviously it's more buyer's market. So the buyer would not want to give up their rights to waive the appraisal contingency. And I just recent 3 years, I see that come, you know, like almost like a uniform to accompany most of the contract offers now.
But now, Jane, the question that they're probably asking is, what do you mean waive the appraisal contingency? Does that mean the bank doesn't, you know, again, we're reaching out to the general audience, so some people may be listening for the first time and not know what that means. They may think that means that, the bank doesn't send out, we tell the lender, we don't want the appraisal. No, it doesn't mean that.
I have to say to you, Ken, that's a good, you know, lot of time, right, when we receive an offer has waived the contingency, right, the seller said, they waived the appraisal. So when we, even though I explained to them what that meant,
what does
right?
it mean you waive to the appraiser when you're telling? I mean,
it's just like later on they forget anyway. So it doesn't mean the buyer waived appraisal. Buyer have no right to waive appraisal. The lender can. But what that means is buyer waived appraisal values. Regardless how much the house priced, the buyer will buy the house. What that mean? You know,
but
buyer had
gonna,
a financial ability to buy the house.
Right. And that begs another question, which we're going to take after the break. But then they're going to say, how can you show me the money? Because that, we have to make sure that can be physically, feasibly accomplished.
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back after this short break.
Attention all investors. A two-story fully leased medical building is for sale. Good cap rate with long-term stable tenants. Corner lot with approximately 30 car spots located on Route 33 in Neptune, just one block away from the Jersey Shore University Medical Center. For more details, please call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448.
Prime Real Estate, a standalone building with superior construction quality, a backup generator, and beautiful architectural design is available for sale or for lease. Located in a highly visible location directly off Route 33 in Hamilton Township, this location is zoned highway commercial, suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and so much more. To find out more, please call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's 908-337-9448.
Impressive second-level office suite in excellent condition is available for lease. Approximately 2,400 square feet consists of private offices, conference rooms and kitchen, and private restrooms. Perfect for attorneys, accountants, or any office professional use. Situated in prime location on Route 130 in the Lake Farrington Plaza Business Park, in close proximity to major highways including Route 1, the New Jersey Turnpike, and Route 287. For more information, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448.
You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. So, Jane, we were discussing waiving the appraisal contingency. So I think the listeners have a clear idea what it means to waive the appraisal contingency. It means that regardless of what the bank appraises the property, they're going to come up with the additional money if there is a deficit. If the bank says that property is only worth $480,000 instead of the contract price of $500,000, therefore they're going to cut their loan amount by X amount accordingly. In that situation, the buyer, if under the contract, if as a contract condition they've waived the appraisal contingency, it means that the buyer has to come up with the additional funds to cover the deficiency.
Yes.
And so that raises a whole other understanding that the seller's agent has to be very well versed in and knowledgeable in the buyer's financial circumstances, and if they can genuinely do that, come up with the money.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Ken. A lot of time, more often, right, I feel sorry for a lot of first-time home buyers. They really, first time, obviously, when they fell in love with the house, they say, oh my God, this is my dream home. I really want it. I don't want to lose it. So the agent prepared the offer. Sometimes the agent did not explain to the buyer what that meant by waive the contingency. Sometimes even they explain, but maybe the buyer didn't understood the first round, because sometimes, you know, for me, we do it day in, day out. If you teach me something, how to use the phone, the gadget, it'll take me a long time to get it too, right? It's just
if
like-
If you get it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, exactly. Right. Sometimes, right. Most time, no, I don't get it.
Maybe ask your daughter.
Exactly,
Maria,
ask everyone, yeah, to help. But a lot of time, right, I see from time to time, the offer come to my table. The buyer had a bare minimum down payment, and they bid a house $50,000 over. How are you going to waive the contingency? And you know, you have no financial mean to waive it.
And secondly, the bank, even in that case, if the down payment is too low, I don't think the lender would allow them to. They might just.
They just write in the offer.
Right, but the lender might say they're not going to loan the money if the deposit is so low and the valuation comes back at $50,000 less, and the initial loan is you're right, the buyer
would. That's exactly my point. My point is, I think sometimes some agent just wrote it. Either the agent, him or herself, understood it and doesn't seem so, or they understood, they just want to trick the seller agent. I don't know. But for the buyer out there, right, when you sign the offer, when you see the waived appraisal contingency, the best thing you can do for yourself is call your loan officer. Ask the loan officer, say, just in this scenario, right, say, hey, the house is asking $450,000. But my agent suggests me to bid over $500,000. I really love the house. I just want it. Okay, just in case, if worst scenario, the house price $450,000, would I be okay? Just in your case, mm-hmm. example you gave, the house for if the house price $480,000, definitely they're okay, right? Because if you can be okay for $450,000, definitely okay. Appraisal
sure.
For $480,000. So always ask for worst scenario. Okay, as the buyer out there, right? Sometimes I felt they may not understood what they were signing. So they prepared so fast. Now it's e-sign. You just click, and done. But did you read the last page, which is what you're waiving, right? If you see on your offering, or if the agent in discussion with you about the terms, accept the offering amount, and about waiving the appraisal contingency, I would highly, highly, highly recommend you as a buyer talk to your loan officer to make sure you can mandatorily you have the enough to waive it. Because if you don't, first of all, the buyer, if the seller agent like us, like a Mueller team, we go through the paperwork very well. We calculate, we make sure.
Right.
Say if any seller agent didn't check it, they accepted. But when the lawyer, didn't check it to say
there should be multiple layers. But with any system, you can have multiple layers, and it still can collapse.
Like yeah,
in this case, the buyer should have checked with his or her loan officer. Then the certainly the buyer agent, and then definitely the seller agent will call the buyer's loan officer, do an interview, and try to verify it. And then then another layer, the buyer's attorney should also make sure that his or her client has that protection and can do it. So there should be
multiple layers.
In life, what can happen, all the layers can think that somebody was done previously.
By other people,
and then it just goes,
yeah.
It collapses,
but,
right.
Yeah, but for the buyer out there, right, if that happened, at the end of the day, you not only waste your time and disappointment, also the lawyer fee and the home inspection fee, mortgage appraisal fee, there's a lot of fee involved. So that's why I think it's very important for you to do the homework, to talk to your loan officer to see what scenario I'm going to be okay. If I don't waive the, my agent said if I don't waive the appraisal contingency, I'll lose the house.
But guess what?
But can we afford?
If you can't afford it anyway, you're not going to get the house.
Yeah, you didn't lose anything
if we
couldn't get it in first place, right?
Right.
Nothing to lose. So that's why it's very important for the buyer out there, talk to your loan officer to make sure you can financially support that if you really want the house, right? If you want to bid on that. There's always another house, I say, right? You think this one is my dream, this dream. And 2 weeks later, you didn't get it, upset, crying. And 2 weeks later, you saw something else better. That's always, it's always another house. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be I don't want a buyer to feel they have to do something. Otherwise, they won't get it. If it's yours, it's yours. So, don't be upset. Keep positive mind. Buying a house is a happy occasion. Yeah, should be, be happy. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And from the seller perspective, right, make sure ask your seller agent a question or ask your lawyer the question. As you mentioned before, Ken, there's two layers, your agent and your attorney. Make sure if you see that waive the buyer waive the contingency for the home inspection, number one, they still need to come to your house to do appraisal, right? Number two, before you accept the offer, make sure your agent, the seller agent, and to check to make sure they have ability, get a bank statement, do some calculation, make sure in what scenario they're okay. And once, if sometimes the buyer refuses to give you all these financials, during the attorney review, at least your lawyer, because you're already in a contract, can be part of the contract, ask your attorney to ask a buyer attorney for that, for the information.
Right.
Yeah, that's the second layer.
They can black out the account numbers and things to make
it
for privacy, but at least we need to see proof of funds to show that the buyer has the means to come up with the additional funding in the event the house underappraises.
Yeah, once you offer that, this will protect the both parties equally, the seller as well as the buyer. So you don't want to waste your time and money and energy and emotion. And just make sure if you do decide to offer waive the appraisal contingency, you have the means and you understand what you're giving up. Okay. And however, recently, if the buyer have a large down payment, the bank have a system, the lender have a system, they can put address in there, put everything in there. They could, at the end, the lender could offer waive the appraisal. That's a different. That's a lender. When lender waived it, they don't come to do the appraisal. Or some lender have
some
the desktop
only,
so
and some do
drive-by.
And some do, or some waive it completely because they have enough information just at their fingertips or computer screen, whatever.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to
the third one.
This is the very favorite one. We could spend a week on this. What is as is? That term is overused in the real estate industry. When a buyer says and the seller says, I'm selling the house as is, and there's so much debate about it, and unfortunately, really, unless there's other language written in the contract, as is a good means you have a good intention. I think that's the only real interpretation you can put on it. And in terms of putting a legal interpretation on it, you would need stronger, more specific language to really buy a home as is, because legally there are things in the contract that give the buyers rights to do a home inspection and get out of the contract if the home inspection isn't satisfactory, do an appraisal. If they don't get the mortgage. So the as is, as far as the cosmetic and structural aspects of the house is really just a starting point to say, it's not my intention to nitpick. But other than that, it really, unless the buyer takes stronger steps and writes in the contract, I waive the home inspection and I'm not doing a home inspection and I will not ask for anything. And that's specifically language is specifically in the contract. As is really is overused. And
It's a marketing.
And it could reflect the good intention of the buyer to look at the deal and not, I think that's really what it means. It's a marketing thing to say, I really, intend not to only be concerned with major structural issues. But again, what is major, what is minor? Those are terms that can have different interpretations for different folks. You know,
it all depends. You know, Ken, you're absolutely right. In my opinion, that word is really overused, and in my opinion, it's only marketing tools to make a seller feel comfortable, accept the one particular offer over another. From the seller perspective, as you said, sometimes my seller said to me, I want to sell my house as it is, period. I said, it can't be as it is, period. For example, you know, if they found a mold, if some the termite, I mean, especially termite, right? The buyer lender can't clear the loan. If they can't clear the loan, they can't buy our house, right? So that's never be as it is. Generally speaking, it's no cosmetic. When the buyer make offer as it is, it's very loose term, like you mentioned, Ken. It's good intention. But once the buyer in the contract, they may change their mind. For example, what is as it is, right? What is the cosmetic versus structural? If the window not operating properly, you know, they could be they could be a structure, they could be anything. Even a GFI in the kitchen, the house was built 60s. Yeah, at that time there's no such code, but later on there's a code. I mean, so they all debatable.
Right,
so
it's all debatable. There the seller would say it was built that way, it complied with the code at the time. The buyer would say, well, it doesn't meet the current code, so it has to be an upgrade. So the seller would say it's an upgrade, the buyer would interpretation would be no, it's a mandatory safety thing. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and forth.
So in a nutshell, it is really has to be further define. But one thing you just brought up, right? Some buyers say, I want this house, I want to waive the home inspection entirely, or I want to do the home inspection
for information
as information
purposes,
only.
Right.
To be honest, that's a big risk
and
for
most,
the buyer.
And most real estate
take.
Brokerage firms have a form that the realtor must give to their client that states that's not advised and it's risky, and we're not liable, and we advise you not to do that because that's not advisable to ever waive the home inspection.
Personally, I never, ever you know, advise my client to waive the home inspection rights. At the end of the day, after you get a report, you can say, I still want the house. That's your choice. That's your decision after consult with your attorney as well as the home inspector. But not doing one is a huge risk. As an agent, I would strongly urge my client, do not do that. It's just not,
all right.
You know, yeah.
So we're running out of time. So any last word on as is, or just let it be as is? Take it for what it's worth. It's worth.
That's right.
Take it, be careful with that, right?
Be careful. That's right. Yes.
All right. We'll see everyone next week.
Thank
have a good
you.
One.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.